in Ahab's name and sealed them and with his seal, sent letters to the elders and to the nobles who were living with Naboth in his city. Now she wrote in the letter saying, proclaim a fast and seat Naboth at the head of the people. Be careful when people want to elevate you.
Oh, that's right.
Be careful. And seat two worthless men before him and let them testify against him, saying, you curse God and the king, then take him out and stone him to death. So the men of his city, the elders and the nobles who lived in the city, did as Jezebel had sent word to them, just as it was written in the letters which she had sent them. They proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth at the head of the people. Mm-hmm. Then the two worthless men came in and sat before him, and the worthless men testified against him, even against Naboth, before the people, saying, Naboth cursed God and the king. So they took him outside the city, stoned him to death with stones. Then the word was sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth has been stoned and is dead. Mm. And it came about, when Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead.
That's right. He got what he wanted. And it was ruthless, it was diabolical, it was murder. This Jezebel spirit is so ruthless, Darren, she will go to any lengths to fulfill her goal. And she doesn't care if somebody's killed, if somebody's wiped out, whatever. This Jezebel spirit is on a destructive mode. And boy, she's going to do anything she wants to. And I say she because it is a feministic kind of a diabolical spirit, even though it can dwell in men, and we'll talk about that later.
Uh-huh. I believe that probably more times than not, it operates through a woman. But I've also seen it many times operate through a man.
I haven't kept score,
but that kind of seems to be the way it works. But then the prophet, he goes down to the situation,
yes,
to the place of the murder, and he says, thus says the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession? In other words, you're not only a killer, but you're a thief.
That's right, boy.
Thus says the Lord, in the place where the dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, the dogs shall lick up your blood, even yours. And Ahab said to Elijah, have you found me, O my enemy? And he answered, I have found you because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, I'm going to say I believe he sold himself to do evil many months before that.
That's right.
I believe that's when he finally gave in the last stroke of his own will, and the devil took him over.
In his union with this woman. And that's why we really want to warn those of you who are getting married. The union of matrimony is so very important. And I'll tell you, if you marry someone that is not a Christian, they will influence you over to their side. It's almost a guarantee, Darren, that the wicked one in a marriage will always influence the righteous one over.
Well, that's because
it appears time and time again.
Well, we as righteous people still struggle with the flesh. That's our lifelong challenge,
that's
is
true,
to be renewed in the spirit of our mind.
Yes.
And that flesh is struggling against righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's that iniquity package that's still down in there that we need to learn to renounce with Scripture and with the words of our mouth. But I couldn't agree with you more. Be careful who you marry.
Mm-hmm.
And here, this marriage went downhill and went to the dogs fast,
sure,
right?
It sure did. It went to the dogs. That is true.
Why don't you pick up the story of what happened then?
Well, in 2 Kings 9, and this is so interesting, Darren, because Elijah gives this prophecy to Ahab and Jezebel in 1 Kings 21, is it?
Right.
Yes, in 1 Kings 21. And he says, in the place where the dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, the dogs shall lick up your blood, even yours and your wife's Jezebel. Elijah, during this time, in the meantime, between now and 2 Kings 9, he's translated. He goes up in a whirlwind to be with the Lord, and this prophet Elisha takes over, and he doesn't see this prophecy fulfilled, and many of you have a word from the Lord.
You mean Elijah doesn't see it fulfilled?
Elijah does not see this word fulfilled. He goes to be with the Lord during this time, and Elisha, the young prophet that takes over, sees this prophecy fulfilled. So many times when we prophesy something, we may not see it for years, but God is faithful. God will always bring it to pass.
You know, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. I believe Elijah was in heaven watching his words, the word of the Lord, spoken through his mouth when he was here in his earth suit, when he was still in his body.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he saw those words fulfilled.
Yes.
I believe he saw from a spiritual perspective.
Yes, and it's so interesting what you say about Elijah and Elisha. Elijah performed 8 miracles, I believe, and it all takes place in the book of 1 Kings. And that's how I can kind of differentiate between Elijah and Elisha, because it's always been kind of difficult which miracle was Elijah's and which was Elisha's. But 1 Kings covers Elijah's life, and 2 Kings covers Elisha's life.
And the old man, we would say Elijah, really forerunner of Christ, he did 8 miracles. His understudy, his right-hand man, we'll say it that way in today's term, the man that really ministered to him, he took on his spirit. In fact, he said, I want a double portion of your spirit.
That's right.
And he got that. He said, well, you'll have it. If you see me go, you'll have it. And he performed 16 miracles, many of them copy for copy.
Yeah, so Elisha actually saw Elijah going up in the whirlwind with a chariot of fire to escort him.
And then it says his mantle was left for the understudy, for Elisha.
Praise God.
I love Elisha in the Old Testament.
Yes.
I'll tell you, I love Elisha in the Old Testament.
So we see this prophecy taking place, and Elijah did speak true words. And in 2 Kings 9, Ahab had died in war before that, at the very end of 1 Kings. But in 2 Kings 9, Queen Jezebel is thrown out of the window by disgruntled servants, and she lands on the pavement. The dogs eat everything, Darren, but the palms of her hand and her skull. And that's quite an ending to a horrible life. And I say here that evil does not reap good rewards. Evil never has. It never will.
Well, I could say, too, you know, there's a saying, you live by the sword, you die by the sword.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting how the prophet's words came true here.
Mm-hmm.
The dogs, you know, that came to... And, folks, it's gross to think about somebody getting stoned. But I'll tell you, they use big stones. The skull is going to break. I mean, it is going to be a bloody mess.
That's right.
The dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, but they came back prophetically, and they did the same thing with
Jezebel. That's right.
Amen.
So, surely, it says in 1 Kings 21:25, surely there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the sight of the Lord, because... Why? What was the reason of this? And we say it again, watch who you marry. I mean, if you're single, oh, be so careful who you marry. And ask the Lord about who to marry. Because it says here, he was evil because of what? Jezebel. Jezebel, his wife, incited him. Oh, really tragic.
She pulled him down.
Yes, she sure did.
Now, you know, we have people call us with tragic stories. And the tragic stories go something like this. Well, I thought he was a Christian. Folks, you're playing with your life here.
Oh, that's right.
We can't even say in earth tones, you're playing with all the marbles. No, no, you're playing with your life. And then when you have children by that person, you know, and I'm speaking here to women.
Mm-hmm.
So many of you gals say, well, he went to church with me. Well, how many times? Well, he went Christmas Eve. And he sometimes he went with me at Easter, and I thought he would, come on, you know better than that.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be right up front and say, are you a Christian?
Well, and sometimes Christians are different too, Darren. I mean, there are Christians that don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're still going to go to heaven, but they don't believe in speaking in tongues. I would not want to be married to one like that. I am so thankful that the husband I am married to is in agreement with the spiritual things that I am.
Exactly.
And it's important that when you say Christian, what do you mean by Christian? Do they believe the things you do? Are you in agreement over the spiritual things?
Well, we have friends. In fact, we just had dinner with them a couple of nights ago. And I know when they were going to Colorado State University together, and all of a sudden she realized that she was attracted to this guy, and he knew he was attracted to her. She said, well, first thing you got to do is get saved. I mean, she laid it right on the line.
Hey, you got to know Jesus.
I've been raised in the Baptist church, and they teach salvation, and I think the story goes she took him to church, and he got saved because he loved her that much. He wanted her God.
That's right. Now, and he's a wonderful man of God.
Oh, they've got an awesome marriage and awesome profession, but... You got to get it right down on the line. We talk to people, I say, is your husband born again? Well, you know, he's a good man.
Mm.
Hey, that doesn't count here, folks.
Never cut it. That's right.
Never cut it. You need to be in agreement spiritually. And by the way, Ahab and Jezebel were in agreement.
That's right.
They were bonded in agreement, but it was demonic agreement.
That's right.
And it cost them their life.
It sure did.
And you want to make real sure that when you choose a mate, that you know whether they're born again or not. Are they on the same page with you? Do they have the same goals you have? Are they willing to pay the same price? Do they want to tithe?
Right. Oh, yes.
I mean, we have people call up and say, my husband won't tithe.
Oh.
Well, that's grievous. That brings a curse on your household.
That's right.
What we're talking about here, folks, are life and death issues.